Our session today is entitled 25 Life Lessons from the Incarnation. This is part two. 25 what? Life Lessons from the Incarnation. Part two. Please get part one. It's available to you on DVD and CD. And you can pick those up after the session over at the table on your right. Those of you watching us live, you can order them through the internet. We'd be happy to ship those to you. 25 Success Lessons from the Incarnation. Understanding the power of divine conception. Say that with me. Understanding the power of divine conception. I want to focus today on the story that we learn from this great act of God of bringing Christ into the world through the vessel of a human body. Let's first of all take a quick review of what Christmas really is. Write this down. What is Christmas really about? First of all, Christmas is the fulfillment of divine promise. That is an important statement to write down, because everything God does is fulfillment of a desire that he had. Your birth is a result of something God wants to fulfill on earth in your lifetime. Number two, Christmas is about how to bring God's assignment in your lifetime to fulfillment. Mary's experience with God is an excellent example of how God can take the invisible and bring it into the visible, to take the heavenly and bring it into earth, to take the eternal and bring it into now. This experience of Mary going through the process should teach us how God gets his will done. And number three, Christmas is really Christ being heaven's example for conceiving and delivering God's divine purpose and plan to earth. Christmas is the best example that we have of God delivering and conceiving his divine purpose to the planet. I have followed everything that Mary did to make my life what it is right now. There's nothing that I have done in my life so far that I didn't learn from Mary. Because Mary did exactly what everyone in this room is supposed to do. You were born to deliver something to the earth from God. And Mary came and delivered something from God to men, and she did it successfully. So God is really setting up a standard or a prototype of how to deliver his will to the earth. So let me take another look then at the story, because we got to follow the example of Mary. Make a note. Everything God does is an example of his principles. Everything. Even growing the plant in the pot is filled with revelation. Because everything God does has in it the principles of life. This is why everything God does succeeds. Case in point, God takes a seed, put it in the ground, it becomes a tree and bears fruit. Is that success? Yes. But he follows certain principles for that to happen. God does everything as an example of his own principles. Number two, Ephesians 5 says, "Be ye therefore imitators of God as beloved children." In other words, follow God's patterns and you'll succeed. If you're going to follow someone, don't follow a failure. Follow someone who is successful. So I would rather follow God than follow you, because you failed so many times. But God has never failed. So his principles, his style, his operation methods must be excellent, because he always succeeds. So what we want to learn is, how did God do this? Let's imitate God. That leads me to point number three. God's actions are man's strategies. Important. When God does something, you should copy it as a strategy, because it succeeded. This is why it's important to imitate God. I don't care who you follow, they will fail. But God has never failed in anything he attempted. Even what we call a fall was a strategy to redeem. God always wins. He never loses. And God is so sure of his success that he wrote the end of the story before the beginning. And he tells us how it's going to end. His success is guaranteed. So we want to learn, what is God's strategy for success? Now let's take a quick look at the story of this great mystery of how this gift came to earth through this woman and was successful. Because Mary teaches us some simple things in this encounter. Write this down. The lesson that we learned from this incarnation story is how to conceive something, how to believe it, then how to protect it, how to deliver it, and how to make it a reality in your environment. The incarnation teaches you, young man, young woman, how to follow God's strategy, father and mother, so that you can bring about what God wants so that it can be successful. First, you must conceive God's idea. Then you must believe that it is real. Then you must protect it. And then you must deliver it to your generation. And Mary did every one of those beautiful acts. She conceived it, she believed it, she delivered it, and she fulfilled her assignment on earth. Now, let's take a look then at how she did this. I'm going to read this with you. If you can read it out loud, let's read it together. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Let's read together. Ready? Go. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came to be. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Verse 19. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to what? Divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord approached him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from who? The Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name what? Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. Now, look at verse 22. All of this took place, read with me, to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. 24. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Look at the next verse, chapter 2, verse 1. Read. And after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When the King Herod heard this, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people's chiefs and priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem of Judea, they said, for this is what the prophets have written. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search of this child. As soon as you find him, do what? Report it to me, so that I too may come and what? Worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of what? Gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream to not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Read the last part. When they had gone on, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he says, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to what? Search for the child to kill him. All this drama in this thing, huh? Verse 14. So he got up and took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, and where he stayed until the death of Pharaoh. He stayed until what? Somebody died. Okay. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said to the prophet, out of Egypt I will call my son. Now, look at how this closes. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it was written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. And Mary is completing now her assignment. Look at verse 38 of Luke. She answers to the angel, I am what? The Lord's servant. May it be unto me just as you have said it. Then the angel left her. I think Mary's response and encounter with God is inviting all of us to have the same kind of encounter. I want you to listen carefully because I'm going to give you the life lessons we learned from Mary. I read the story for you so you can pick up all the details of what we must learn from this great drama. Number one, write fast. Your assignment may interfere with your previous commitments and your relationships. Mary was already engaged, and God's assignment interrupted her engagement. Sometimes you are bent on doing something. It's your desire to do it. And God breaks into your plans and says, look, I want you to do something else. And sometimes we think God is interfering, when in fact God is actually setting us up for greatness. He may even break up some relationships in order for him to achieve his will for your life. Sometimes we are committed to do something so deeply, even as deep as engagement. Going with someone for years and God is saying, okay, but I want you to do this now. And they can't understand it. I remember when I was with the Visionaries. The Visionaries had the number one record on radio at that time in 1974. We were the number one singing group in the country. Some of you remember that. I had just released that song I wrote called Brand New Word. Everybody was singing it. And in the middle of all of that great success, the Lord says, go to school. I sat with my three friends and they cried. They said, are you crazy? I said, the Lord said, I must go to school right now. At the height of success, God interrupted my life. I shut the group down at the top. Now, some folks wait till they lose before they quit. But God will catch you just when you're about to get married. That was Mary's problem. And I was so clear in my mind. See, I think the greatest test of obedience is for God to catch you while you're successful. He will ask for something you love and say, sacrifice it. On Monday of this week, I stood in a hall with over 4,000 leaders watching the man who changed my life in 1974 be buried, Dr. Oral Roberts. That's when I met him in 1974. I left that group and met Oral Roberts. And if I had a choice to do it again, I would leave the group again. Because I would have never dreamt about this place if I never met Oral Roberts. I would still be running around from little church to church singing songs when I could be around the world impacting millions. See, God will interrupt you to do greatness, and he'll catch you to test your love for the thing rather than him. Do you love God more than you love the people you love? Is the question. Mary had to make a decision. She can tell the angel, I got a ring on my finger, and the brother can walk down the aisle in a few weeks. I can't do this to Joseph. Your resistance could put the world in jeopardy. Mary could have told God, forget this. And she would have been abandoning the salvation of the whole world. God's will interfere with your relationships. Number two, what do we learn from this story? That you are favored even if you don't feel like it. When Mary was told by the angel, you are highly favored, she says, what are you talking about? Let me tell you something, friends. God wants to do through you what you can't believe he could do. Matter of fact, through you. Because most of us think far less of ourselves than God does. And God will always shock you by his assignment in your life because you think that you are what people say you are, when in fact you are who God says you are. And you are sitting next to greatness right now. Don't even know it. They seem to be normal. They ain't normal. They are literally an assignment still about to happen. And some of you are sitting there thinking, well, I'm 40, I'm 50, I'm 60. God is saying, shut up. Listen, Abraham was 75 and God said, you're going to change the world. There's hope for old people too. Say amen. Amen. If you think you're old, say amen. In other words, God still has a big plan for your life. In spite of all your failures, in spite of all of your low self-esteem, God has a big plan for your life. Third lesson we learn from this is that your assignment will impact your generation. The angel told Mary, little girl in the village, he said, that which is born of you shall save the whole world. God didn't go to a great, rich, wealthy family. He went to a poor village. Found a little girl who was just barely a teenager. And he said, what you have on the inside will change the world. I remember the day when I fought with God. I had my Jacob experience with God. I fought with God. When God began to show me what I was born to do, I said, you gotta be kidding, God. You need someone else to do this. I'm not qualified. I don't have the right family tree, the family heritage, the location where I was born, the things that I am involved in, God, the way my culture is. And God says, I don't care. This is your assignment in life. God will take you to places to change generations. You were not born just to make a living. You were born to make a difference in the world. Lesson number four. Your assignment will always make you a virgin. You know, Mary's first response, how can this be, seeing that I am a virgin? We learned last week that every one of us is a virgin before God. What is a virgin? A virgin is someone who hasn't done it before. Whatever God gives you to do, you never did before. So you are automatically a virgin when God gives you your assignment. And let me tell you why that's important. Because God will never give you something you've already done. What you were born to do, you have never done before. So you are just like Mary. You are a virgin. God's dream will always make you feel inadequate. Because his dreams are bigger than your womb. He will make you a virgin every time. This is why to obey God, you must have a measure of fear. Because you never did it before. You don't know how it's going to process, how you're going to feel. Could you imagine Mary being told she's going to be pregnated without a man? I'm a virgin, she says. I can't bear children. Well, so is everybody here. Whatever God is telling you to do, you've never done before. You are a virgin. Lesson number five, your assignment will always require God's involvement. You know what it says? She says, how will this be? And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Write this down. God will never give you an assignment that doesn't require him. If you can do what you're dreaming without God, you are not in God's will. If you don't need God to complete your assignment, you are not doing what God wants you to do. God will always give you something that makes him necessary. So if you are an expert, you don't need God in your life, and you think that you got everything, and these humanistic people walk around saying, well, I don't need God, that means you have never found God's will for your life. God's will always require God. In other words, God's assignment creates dependency on God. The Holy Spirit will do this. But here's something else. This is the one I like, really. Number six, you will need the right people in your life. The angel gave Mary two answers when Mary asked, how will this be? And by the way, that question is everybody's question. Am I right? You got this big dream in your mind all these years, this big dream. And you're like, how can this be? And God's answer is always two answers. One, the Holy Spirit, you need God. And two, the angel volunteered the second answer. He says, and Elizabeth is pregnant. Now, Mary asked one question. He gave her two answers. What was the question? How will this be? In other words, how will this be accomplished? That is an important question. I live by that every day. I don't know how to do what God called me to do. But God says there's two things you need to get it done. One, you need the Holy Spirit. That's God. And number two, you need Elizabeth. Who is Elizabeth? Elizabeth is an interesting woman. And now, let me just say this. I want to emphasize this. Mary is asking the messenger of God, how do you bring God's will in the earth? He gave two answers. One, you need God. And two, you need Elizabeth. I mean, come on. There are millions of people in the world. Why pull out Elizabeth? Because Elizabeth is what everybody needs. Who is Elizabeth? First of all, she's an older woman. And she's beyond the age of bearing children. And she and her husband conceived. Which means she's walking around as a pregnant old woman with a miracle baby. Do you remember that story? In other words, Elizabeth represents a lot of important things. First of all, she represents someone who's older than you in the work. Secondly, she represents somebody who is advanced in pregnancy with their dream. She is 6 months beyond Mary. She's 6 months pregnant beyond Mary. So she has already gone through the morning sickness, all the bad feelings, all the changing of clothing, adjusting her apparel. She got to stay away from certain foods. In other words, she's already gone through the changes of pregnancy. And thirdly, she's already been convinced that God can do it because she has a miracle baby. In other words, when you have a dream from God, you look for people, first of all, who've already done something. Secondly, they've been through something. Thirdly, they know more than you. Fourthly, they've already achieved some success. And fifthly, they already changed their clothes. Listen, if you dumb and I dumb, both of us in trouble. You don't keep coming to folks who can't help you. If you broke and I broke, we broke. You know, I was telling my son the other day, I said, you know, relationships are the key to life. You are as rich as the friends you have. And you are as broke as the friends you have. Can I hear an amen? That's why you want to keep coming to people who got something. Because the folks who ain't got nothing can tell you they ain't got nothing. When you ain't got nothing, both of you all ain't got nothing together. You want to talk to folks who got something. Can I hear an amen? Mary Elizabeth is pregnant. The way you bring God's will to pass is to find the right company who can encourage you to keep your baby. Can you imagine when that first morning sickness hit Mary? She thought she was going to die. Now, I don't know how to feel, okay? I never had no baby. But my wife had two kids for me. And only two kids in the world I got, praise the Lord. But my wife had two kids. And sometimes my wife would say, I want some ice. Lord have Jesus on me. What's she talking about? She said, I want some tambourine. They said some funny things when they get married. Eh? I mean, when they get a baby, eh? And then they have like nausea and want to bring things up. And they don't feel well. And sometimes, I'm sure it goes through their mind, why does man do this to me? Anyone ever thought that, ladies? Don't hold your hand up, don't hold your hand up, don't hold your hand up. Husband sitting right there, don't say that. When a woman gets pregnant, she thinks about this fella who did this to her. That's how we feel about God. Lord, I had a good life until you gave me this idea. This is trouble. And you need someone like this to say, that's okay. Hang on, that's going to pass. Why? I already passed through that. Morning sickness is only temporary. You need someone to tell you that. You don't get rid of the baby because you feel bad momentarily. Because you need someone to tell you, I've been through that already. You will make it through that. I am past the morning sickness. I imagine that many times Mary would run, because, you know, she's a young teenager. She don't know what to expect. She would run to Elizabeth and say, Elizabeth, I feel this, I feel that, I feel this. And Elizabeth would say, well, that's what this is, and that's what that is. And in other words, she was there to explain what was going through Mary's life. You need people like that to tell you, yes, I know this seemed to be tough right now, but I went through that too. Keep your baby. You need the right company. That's a great lesson we learned from Mary. Number seven, you must believe it is possible. You know, I like what Mary says. Mary says, be it unto me. Just like you have said, an angel says, with God, all things are possible. What you were born to do seem impossible. But God wants you to believe it is possible. Number eight, you must surrender your assignment to God's will. You know, Mary says, be it unto me just like you have said. Don't allow your intellect to interfere with God's instructions. We can become so intelligent, we can work out, talk ourselves right out of our assignment. Mary surrendered. She says, be it unto me like you have said, because I don't know how this is going to happen. So I surrender to your will. Number nine, what do we learn from Mary? You must act immediately and make decisions in keeping with your assignment. If you read the Bible, it says in Luke 1:39, it says, immediately Mary left and went to Elizabeth. This is interesting. As soon as she accepted the dream, the assignment, she acted right away. Are you procrastinating? Are you putting it off for the last few years? Say, what I'm going to do, yes, I'll obey God after I get this finished, after I get that finished, after I do this. And God will say, no, I want you to do this now. Sometimes you got to leave certain environments immediately in order to fulfill God's dream. I had to cut off company when I got God's will for my life. I had to change friends immediately. I had to leave certain environments because not everybody has your interest in heart. Listen to me. I was a young teenager when I got God's vision for my life. And this is why I never drank, never smoked, never went to nightclubs. Do you know why? I was clear on my vision. I remember one time, my friend at Robin High School, he had a beer. Boy, beer tastes bad. I know about y'all who drink beer, but y'all need help. And me and my friend, you know, he's supposed to be my friend. He bought a beer after school. And he said, man, you want some? I said, no, boy, my mom will kill me and my dad will bury me. He said, and he started drinking this thing. He said, taste some. You know me, I dare a little bit. I taste a little bit of that. Spit every piece of it out. That tasted like bitters. I don't know how y'all just drink that. Not y'all, the one behind you. It was horrible. But then, while I was tasting it, I heard the voice of God. God said, if you go in this direction, you'll sabotage your dream. You'll sabotage your dream. I remember the first young lady who tried to get me to have sex with her. Yes, they did. I was handsome, good looking. And I remember she cornered me. And here I am, famous in the visionaire. She cornered me. And the Holy Spirit said to me, you can do this. You can do this. But you will sabotage your dream. I backed off. She called me a sissy. She in jail. I changing the world. She went to jail. Let me tell you something. You got to act quickly. You don't tell God, well, I'll change this after I get tired of it. You better act like Mary. Mary was a young teenager. She changed location quickly. She went with the right people. And that protected her. Number nine leads to number 10. Move to the right environment to cultivate your assignment. The Bible says that when she left her house, she went to Elizabeth, and as soon as she entered the gate, the yard, the babies leaped in their womb. In other words, she entered the right environment. You want to be in a place where your baby continues to kick. You want to be around people who make your dream come alive. You want to be in an environment where people say, I believe in you. You can do this. It's possible. Yes, you will. Yes, you can. You want to be in the right place so that your dream can be fertilized by the people around you. Number 11, very important. You must know your assignment adds value to others. Listen, whatever you're born to do, everybody needs it. Mary, you shall have a child. And he will save the people from their sins. In other words, even though it's a private announcement, it is a public impact. I had no idea that my life would be affecting people. I told you all last week, I stood before over 2 million people I think it says over 2 million. And I was standing there as a Bahamian, still living on an island 7 miles wide, talking to 2 million people, 3 different sessions. And I couldn't believe this was me. I had to pinch myself. Is this me? What if I had just settled for what other people wanted me to do? What you were born to do is public impact. It may seem small, but God's going to take you to big places. Amen? Number 12, know that your purpose is for the benefit of others. Whatever you were born to do is not for you. It's for other people. Someone asked me years ago, how do you know a vision is from God? The answer is, if your vision only profits you, it's not from God. I got a vision of a big house. That's not from God. I got a vision of a nice car, 3 cars in the garage. That's not from God. That's ambition. And I dream one day I'll have $10 million in the bank. I'll play golf. That's not from God. That's ambition. A true assignment always benefits other people. God will never give you something to do that only makes you rich. He will give you an assignment to help people, to improve people, to advance other people. This is how you tell whether your dream is from God. So you ask yourself some questions now. What am I dreaming and how does it help humanity? If it doesn't help humanity, that's ambition, private ambition. All right, number 13, stay in the right environment until your conception is complete. Do you know that Mary stayed with Elizabeth until she was too big to hide it? Some of you all know what I mean by that, right? Growing up in Bain's town, the worst thing that could happen to anyone was to have their daughter pregnant. You all remember them days? And they had to put girdle on. Girdle? Girdle, right? Yeah. Yeah. To put that elastic thing, girdle on them, to try and hide the baby for years. For years? And you can always tell when someone was in trouble. All of a sudden, the whole neighborhood was sip-sipping. Anybody know about that? Child, she looked a little stout. You remember that, man? Yeah, she don't look right. I saw her too, boy, at the store. That looked like she hiding something. Mary went through that. Because you see, Mary had problems. She was born in a pure family. She was engaged to a pure guy. And now she's pregnant. And the whole community is only 11 houses and one street, according to archaeologists. Nazareth with one street, 11 houses. That means everybody know everybody. How's she going to hide this baby? What does God do? God takes her away to Elizabeth, who also got sip-sip on her. Let's be honest now, right? Your mother 90 and she got a baby. Now you know we can talk about that, eh? So Elizabeth already been through the criticism and everything, all in the sip-sip, so she can handle that, see? So here comes Mary saying, I got baby. Elizabeth said, child, I know what you're going through. And that's why Elizabeth said to her, blessed is she who comes in the name of the Lord. You are blessed, she says. What an encouragement that must have been to her after the questions she had. She had to hide with Elizabeth for 6 months. In other words, she grew with her dream in the presence of somebody who didn't attack her. Who didn't criticize, who didn't tell her it can't be done, and you had this grace. You need to be around people who say, listen, no one else believes you, but I do. She was in the right place, and she stayed there until she was so convinced and so big that she had to come back home leaning backward. Come back home like this. Can you imagine? They say, you see Mary? Yeah, you all see me. In other words, you got to get to the point where your dream is so big, they can talk whatever they want to talk. You believe it's going to happen anyhow. Stay in the right environment until you are complete with your conception. Yes? Look at number 14. Know the relocation and the change is related to your assignment. You got to know that when you change your location, it's related to your assignment. Put it this way. If you got a big dream, you don't want to keep company with small dreamers. In other words, make sure your relocation is good for your dream. Some of you are in jobs right now, and God is saying, stay on this job. Why? There's some things you have to learn from this job to help you with your dream. Yeah, but this ain't what I want. God said, no, it ain't the salary right now. It's the environment I want you to be in. I want you to learn to meet some people, get some networking, get some contacts, stay here for a while. Why? Because this environment is good for your dream. Mary didn't live with Elizabeth all of her life, but she stayed there long enough until that dream was conceived and believed. She was convinced of it, and she felt that she was accepted. You have to watch your relocation. Number 15, your assignment has a time and a process. Luke chapter 2, verse 6. The angel said to Mary, that which shall be born of you shall be born of the Holy Spirit. And in the fullness of time you shall bring forth a son. You will call his name Jesus. It's a process. Don't panic if it's taking a while. God is going to bring it to pass. Don't be frustrated if it seems to be taking long. Stay steady. When that comes, you're going to be ready for it. That's the good news of God's assignment. And number 16, your assignment will be hidden in whatever you have. You know, it's interesting. Mary had a baby, but in the baby was salvation. Whatever you were born to do has something in it. Don't destroy what you have, because what you got more than what you see. What you were born with is supposed to do a lot more than what you think it's supposed to do. In that assignment was the salvation of the world. It looks like a baby, but it's really a salvation program. Number 16, many will not recognize or even have room for your dream. Mary is pregnant with this beautiful dream. She's looking for a place to have it. She goes to a place that's supposed to have room for her. And they said, we have no room for you. If there's one thing this ministry should be known for, is we serve as incubator for many dreams. We want to encourage people to pursue their dreams here. We want to encourage you to fulfill your purpose here. We don't want to be a dream-killing machine. My life is to help people achieve what they were born to do and to become great in their lifetime. That's the right environment. Many people will not recognize your dream. I thank God when Dr. Oral Roberts looked at me as a young student, put his hands on my head in his office. I'll never forget that day. And there was a little plaque on his desk. The little plaque simply said, dream no small dreams here. That was his plaque on the desk. And everyone that went to visit him, that's the first thing you saw on that desk. Dream no small dreams here. I looked at the plaque and tears came out of my eyes. Because I came from a small little island where everybody was thinking small. I was a Bainetown anointed person. And there was that sign saying, dream no small dreams here. I looked around at the buildings that he built and I said, wow, this is possible. His environment changed me. And then he laid hands on me. He said, son, I don't know you well, but you're going to do great things for God. He recognized something in me. To prove it, he put me on staff as a freshman. And he made me a member of what he called the World Action Committee, which was a committee of 9 people that met with him every week. I was the only student on the committee. He recognized something that no one else could see. And he mentored me for 4 years. Why do I believe in you? I see things in you that you can't see sometimes in your own self. This is why we always encourage people, don't give up. You are greater than you think you are. People will not believe your dream. Matter of fact, they will say to you, we are full. There's no room in our life for your crazy dream. The inn is full. By the way, some years ago, the Lord told me something. Years ago, when I was a young teenager, he said, this is what he told me. He says, I made sure the inn was full. I said, God, what do you mean? Don't you want your son to be born in a nice bed? With air condition? Nice things? He said, no, I made sure that the inn was full. How many believe that God can do anything? Do you think God can make a room in a hotel available? Yes. That means God made sure it was full. And I said, God, why? He said, because I wanted to make sure my son was born in a cave. I wanted to make sure of that. I said, why? He said, because I want to encourage every human being to believe that they can be born in the worst condition and still become King of Kings. And that's when I began to thank God for Baintown. I talk about it all the time. Why? Because you can be born in Baintown and end up in Kingdom Town. It's not where you were born, young man. It's not your conditions, young woman, where you were born. You don't know who your mother is. Your father abused you. You know, you ain't got nothing. You grew up and, you know, sleeping on the floor like I was. God said, that's okay. My son was worse. He was born outside. At least I had a clapboard house. He was born among sheep. At least I had one little shaker. He was born on hay. At least I had a mattress. The first sound he heard, what did you hear when he was first born? Gitty, gitty, gitty. At least it was a human. He heard animals. How bad can you be born and still be great? Give God a hand for his greatness in you. What a lesson, eh? You know, I heard our prime minister say something some couple months ago, and I was so impressed. I agree with him 100%. He said, some of these young people going around saying that they're doing all this antisocial behavior because of their upbringing. He said, let me tell you all something. I as prime minister, and I know my mom here did. I grew up with my grandmother or something. I had nothing. I slept on the floor. In other words, he's saying, look, it ain't your condition that makes you evil. And he's right. Look where Christ was born, and today he is King of Kings. He cancels your excuse for not being great. It doesn't matter where you were born. It's where you die that counts. Yes? Number 18. Only the discerning will recognize your greatness. You know, the three wise men, God bless you, son. The three wise men were the only ones who understood it from afar. And the shepherds were the only ones who understood it from up close. All them other folks didn't know who he was. That innkeeper, can you imagine him, innkeeper scratching his head today saying, my God, I didn't know that was God at my door. I wonder how many folks know who came when you came. When you ask them for $500 to start something, and they say, I got no money to give you. This is a crazy dream. You know, I must be honest with you, and this is not, you know, public consumption here because of anything I want to say, but we, my wife and I, have given a lot of money away to people to get started in what they're doing. And that's because I remember when I got started and no one helped me. They shut the door of the inn on me. Let me tell you something, friends. Only the discerning will pick up that you are great. Tell your neighbor, you better be nice to me. My sister sitting up front right here. She's pretty, eh? This is my pretty sister, my eldest sister. I ain't telling how old you are, but she's older than me. And I'm 54. Now, my sister is here. And when I was a child, I was born with asthma to the point of where I almost died. And my sister used to wake up in the night and keep me alive. She had to almost be our second mother because, you know, my mother had children. So, you know, she was almost like our other mother. And she had to take care of us. And I was number six. And she used to get up in the night, she told me, and they used to rub me down with lard and stuff. You know, with them anointed treatment, lard with leaf. Come on, you all know with them, right? Yeah, hot lard, then you put the leaf on it. And I remember that. Put all kind of stuff on me to keep me alive. She said she'd walk up and down the floor afraid to put me down because I might die, because I'd be choking in the night, turning blue. My sister had no idea that she was walking every night with her boss in her hand. Just walking up and down. Come on, give God a hand. You never know who you got in your hand. My sister is our first employee. Almost 29 years ago, she was the first one employed by this ministry. Give her a hand. And she's still employed as the executive administrator. She's my executive administrator. She had no idea that I'd be paying her salary. No idea. Now, I tell your neighbor, be nice to me. I could be your future boss. And I will remember you. It's important to treat everybody nice, because you don't know who they will become. Some of y'all know what I mean. You row with somebody, and 10 years later, you go to get a loan from the bank. And guess who's sitting at the desk? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Go to another bank, child. You never know. So you got to be discerning. You got to understand that there's greatness in everybody. Number 19, your assignment will be hidden in rags. They wrapped him in what? Swaddling clothes. That means rags, strips of cloth. When you first start your dream, you ain't got nothing. People think you are nothing. I've come to tell you today that you are something wrapped in nothing. Say amen, somebody. God knows what he got inside of you, and right now you can't even change shoes. You got to wear the same clothing over and over again. You got to wash them. God said, that's okay. Inside that rag is a great world changer. Can I hear glory? Hallelujah. They don't know who you are. Never let a person judge you by the clothing you wear. Oh, yeah, we all remember them uniform you had to wash every day. Go to school, the same thing. Might as well take your shoes off. You got to keep them for a year now. Take them off. Go run barefooted. And we had to go run barefooted. Our feet turned real hard. We could walk on rocks on the beach without feeling everything. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Nowadays, y'all are so sophisticated, you can't even walk on dirt. But we had to learn to be in rags. But in that rag is greatness. The house you're living in now, people laughing at you. That's okay. That's okay. Inside that little cupboard house is a mansion. Hidden inside there. Never despise small, ragged beginnings. God has greatness in you. As a matter of fact, the theme God gave me for next year, ooh, Lord, two words God gave me. I'll tell you one on Thursday night. But the other one he told me, he says,